Hello.
Hey, good morning.
How are you? Doing well. It's actually really beautiful out. Can't complain.
It starting to feel like fall yet?
It is. Yeah, it was like low 50s last night. I know. Yeah.
Was
But I don't know if the leaves are turning because lack of water or it's fall. So it might be a combination of both.
Yeah, well,
Yeah, do what you can.
funny.
Hey.
Hello. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Back to Tuesdays.
Yeah.
We had a really cool summer, and
Oh,
now
interesting.
it's one of the when that happens, often it means we have a really hot September and October.
Oh.
And so that's sort of, I don't know. It's been a bit of a mix, so we'll say.
We had a really hot and humid summer. But it could change at any moment. So we're kind of expecting kind of like a week of just, I don't know, another hot week. Hopefully not, but yeah, I like fall, so I'm very good with a fall of like, in the, I guess, 20 degrees Celsius. There you
That's our summer.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, that's our fall. Yeah.
Yeah, I just came back from vacation. It was
Oh.
always over 30 degrees, and I already miss it.
Oh.
It's only, I don't know, maximum 20 degrees here right now. So,
Yeah.
Where did you go on vacation?
to Romania. It's
Wow.
in the Black Sea.
Oh, say on the coast? Oh, nice. Wow.
We were under the coast, but I mean,
On the
near, it's
water.
near the Black Sea there, bit north of Turkey.
Nice.
For now,
So,
yeah. Well, welcome back.
yeah, thanks. Yeah, I have a blackout, so to speak. I don't know what has happened the last 3 weeks.
So, Trillium has been delayed.
Yeah.
It's one of the big things.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, you saw
But
that. Okay.
I
But it's still to be decided where things ends. So the meeting, Jen Colt has encouraged the PCE, the implementer SIG, release management stakeholder group to attend. I think it would be relevant because the release manager propose, extension sometime in spring, but according to TC, the different so Spring Boot, Vertex, etc., some of those modules are only supported to end of December. So it is an impossible. You cannot postpone it to way beyond a support period. So, but so the conversation is good to get now.
Yeah, put it on my calendar to be there. I'm glad they're doing that because it just feels like the release management folks are just sort of making these decisions without consulting with anybody.
So they are talking with the RMS group, but it has kind of been decided already, so we are not being heard, and then can say no, we cannot do this. It's so I was also away that week when all of that kickstarted, but and yeah, there's some a lot of conversation, and I'm not even sure we are all looped in on all reasons for why this long deletion, delay.
So Julian pointed this out that Spring
Okay.
Boot has a very short release cycle.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
he pointed that out, I think, I don't know, a few weeks ago. And I wasn't aware of that. I think it's really problematic. I mean, it's not something that we as a PC should maybe bother about. But I think really that, I mean, it seems to mess up the release plans a lot, because if you have to do some kind of major upgrade of Spring Boot within a release, that's not, yeah, maybe it's not a good idea.
Yeah, and I wanted to start like bringing notes from those meetings and doing like, updates for the PC. So I did take some notes for the one we had this week, and I just put it into welcome and announcements. So, yeah, I should. Oh, hey, Jeremy.
Sorry about all that.
He was having Zoom trouble. We were talking off.
The worst. I
So,
was not able to join the chairs meeting yesterday at all.
weird.
Jennifer, if this is some information you plan to do on a regular basis, then maybe it should not be in announcements. Then maybe it should kind of have its own label. And then we can just scope it max 5 minutes or so, so it's not going too long. But I'd say, and then these meetings are only held every other week, so we.
That's what I wanted to ask this group. Because here I saw that there was a draft agenda that was created. Here, let me put it in there. So I just wanted to make sure that one, it was, people were okay, like bringing notes from this meeting, and updating everyone in PC. And then, of course, I don't think it goes in welcome and announcements either. So Jerry, we're just talking about updates from the release management. So would it be okay if I just create like kind of a rubric, updates from release management?
Are you wanting to, first of all, I'm sure it's okay, but just for my clarification, are you wanting to do this for a single meeting, or like a regular update from release management on each meeting?
Well, I guess that's a question. I mean, we haven't. I'm not sure it's never been like part of our agenda per se, though I know Kristen has provided updates. So should it be part of our agenda? I mean, we meet every other week.
I would like to keep it consistent from my perspective,
Yeah,
but
definitely.
Charlotte.
So I agree. I think because there is you can say it has been actually a little bit like a hen and the egg. Is it the release management stakeholder group setting the agenda for the PC, or is it the PC setting the scope, the goal, the etc. for the release management stakeholder group? So at least a regular update on what is happening with the product would be super relevant.
Are there any other liaisons that we might want to hear from in a similar way, like on a standing basis? I do think RMS is a little unique, but it might be worth asking.
So I know TC is doing regular. It is doing RMS group. It is doing CC. It is doing PC.
Okay, CC and TC.
So, like maybe the other
Put them all
councils,
together on in a little ongoing.
liaison block.
And if there's anything else, there may be something else super relevant from another group, and we can just be like, does anybody else have anything?
That's a great idea. So we could just hit RMS, CC, TC, and then any other liaisons, with some updates from their meetings. I like that.
And then we can leave it on there, even though RMS is only every other week. Leave it on there.
I'm writing all this down.
Excellent.
Yeah, because even if we don't meet, sometimes, we approve CSPs and stuff like that. So I think that's really interesting to bring that back to the PC, because then we know what CSPs are coming out when, or what's going into those CSP, what's been approved, which is really important as well.
I'm really, I think my next pet project after this community-driven development thing is going to be getting to the bottom of just the nature of the relationship between the governing councils and the RMS group, and just trying to figure out what's happening there.
Yeah, honestly, to me, it's always felt like an independent group, the release management, and they kind of can present to PC, but like there's no relation. So I was pretty surprised to hear that it fell under PC's charge, honestly.
They don't
Well, I'd
like
like to.
to believe that.
I think I'm going to try to type up a report where I do a survey of the people involved and just kind of their exactly that sort of thing, like their perception of how it works and how it's supposed to work and how they wish it worked. And also the documentation that we have in our community as far as, anything that describes the nature of the relationship, at least to just kind of shine a light on the fact that it seems like there is a disconnect between people's expectations, just kind of across the community for that relationship. And at least then we could start talking about, like, all right, well, how do we fix this incongruency?
Get ready for a fun conversation with Harry.
It's all part of the process.
And I think the
100%.
PC, sorry, Thomas, I think the PC also has, so with Trillium, we don't even know if it's going to be R1 2026. And what happens then with umbrella leave? Are we now, because one of the explanations for this extended delay is that it is very costly to do the Bugfest tests. So is umbrella leave then going to be R1 2027? Or are we back to two releases next year then? But there are several explanations and some more told out in the open than others. There is also that EBSCO is reserving more time to do migration of all their existing customers from Okapi environments to the Eureka environment.
Oh, that just
And
pissed me off so bad.
Kong, the whole issue with that we maybe they maybe need to find a replacement for Kong.
Yeah, I heard that yesterday.
But
Why? Don't
what's up
mind.
with Kong?
It's going to be a commercial product.
Oh.
But in that case, then it's not just Folio being in a situation. So we can look a little towards to what is other projects doing. But
Right.
one possibility can be to, rewrite our own Kong.
Yeah, I was
But
going to
how
say,
much, how long time will that take?
I know about an open source gateway software that has an okay API.
Well, with Kong though, my understanding with that one though isn't that it's going completely closed source, is that the open source version of it is no longer going to be built into Docker containers that can be pulled down. So I think you can still build it and use it. It's not going to be as easy as it is now. It's going to require a lot more work to implement it. I do know on the dev side, one of the things that is being held up is the requirements from TC for a lot of the module upgrades that have to be done. And I can't remember what the one module is right now. It's actually still in beta. It's not even officially released yet. So it's one of the requirements for TC that all of the modules being released in URT have to have meet these requirements, and the dev teams have to go through and upgrade all of the modules to meet those requirements. So that's also one of the other reasons why it's being held back. But yeah, the other one is too, is you're 100% right. Like, Bugfest is costing an arm and a leg to run because it just keeps going on and on and on and on forever.
So for National Lab of Sweden. because they were to go live on Trillium, and if the Trillium release is, going way longer than even the go live date they have set for Q1 2026. So then we are working with the RMS group and have gotten Oleksiy Patrinko's approval for that we can launch it as a Sunflower service patch. Yet to be decided if it is going to be one of the regular. So then we are aiming for CSP, so Sunflower CSP number two, or to scope it just as an NLS service patch. But it would have the same timeline as well. And by doing that, my hope is that we then can keep NLS still on track.
That's great news.
So what else is going on this week, on Thursday?
There is some, we do have some stuff penciled in. Let's see. I thought we did.
I'm checking the topic calendar.
Yeah, there is the draft. Well, it's 9/11. All it says is updates on active initiatives, new topics.
On the topic calendar, it's resource access SIG is coming
Yes.
and the reporting SIG.
Yeah, we have some SIGs coming.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Great.
Yeah, sorry. Caitlin sent me a message this morning with all this information. I was just trying to pull it up.
Okay. Cool.
We were also talking about maybe discussing the idea of like a like kind of continuing this rolling agenda for the SIGs, maybe instead of doing like SIG announcements, we could just have like a rolling schedule where we invite SIGs every, so many meetings, just kind of like get on that treadmill. So it's just kind of a constant thing. I don't know if that's something that people will be interested in, but Caitlin and I thought we might bring that up as a possible, calendar change.
Yeah, and there was another thing we were wondering too. We didn't really discuss it, but instead of like having, is it worth having, monthly reports, or should, especially in the summer, it's a lot of work. So I'm wondering if, if we're on the rolling thing, is it enough to have like every other month? I mean, I would say yes, but because some groups don't even meet monthly.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we definitely, I think that it probably would result in us hearing from SIGs more often, but for each SIG, them doing reports to us less often, if that makes any sense. Like, I think we would more regularly be hearing from some SIG, but each individual SIG would probably have a larger interval between the times that they report. So I don't know. There's a lot of different ways we could divide it up, but it's an in interesting idea at least.
And a better communication, maybe. So then there would be room and time for actually discuss, problems or, things where it they where we instead of,
Kind of give each SIG more individualized attention.
Yeah, sure. I like
Yeah.
it. I like that idea.
There was something that came up in the community development group that I would love to get y'all's feedback on. And it was that we, feel like at this point, all of the community has heard about these three different community development proposals, like kind of over and over and over again. And we were looking at WolfCon and thinking, do we really want to get out there? Like, Steven is doing the contributor network presentation, and We have a community development presentation where we could march out our little proposal, but it seemed like it might be time for us to try to take all three of these proposals and synthesize them into, kind of the next iteration. And so last week, Stephen and I were kind of charged with attempting to do that, taking the three proposals and turn them into, one proposal. We worked on that Friday and yesterday. I think we might have it wrapped up today, and we're planning on bringing it to the CDD group tomorrow, to kind of get their feedback on it. And if everyone likes it, or we, make some tweaks to it, then we might roll that out to the councils and then present on that at WolfCon over the course of two sessions. So there's 2 hour-and-a-half sessions. So we kind of thought the first one we could just go over, maybe the history and context a little bit and this new proposal. And then in the second session, have more of like a workshoppy kind of next steps discussion. So general thoughts on that idea?
I like it.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
It's
Yeah,
great.
and whenever you have those descriptions, just send them to me because I'm the not the yeah, I can do
Last
this.
woman
Yeah.
standing. Yes.
Well, yeah, I was trying to say, how can I be nice to Sked? And then I'm like, yeah, I do feel like the last person standing with Jesse leaving. Well, Je he already left Cornell, so
Wow.
Yeah. But anyway, when you have those descriptions, let me know. Just
I'm
send them to me and I'll update, with both of those sessions. Yeah.
I appreciate that. Do y'all mind if I give you like the 3-minute kind of preview of it to get just some feedback from you guys?
Go for it.
Okay. One of the things that kind of came up as we were bringing these together, in Mike's proposal, he introduced this idea of a point system to determine the cost of maintenance. We kind of latched on to that and drug it forward into this next concept. We realized that one of the reasons why community development is such a hard lift is because every time we as a community have made a commitment to a module, if there is a support element to it, that's a resource commitment. And with every module that we've kind of laid our hands on, we've stretched our potential resources thinner and thinner and thinner, which makes supporting the whole thing a heavy lift. So we were thinking that, in a sense, that kind of makes module adoption a fiscal decision, or at least a resource decision, and kind of the purview of the CC, though the PC is the one that's supposed to be kind of assembling the product. And so here it is. The idea is that the CC would come up with a budget for support. The TC would go through this exercise that Mike suggested of scoring all the modules in the organization. And then the CC would tell the PC, well, this is your point budget for modules. Spread it around how you see fit, which would put the PC in a situation where they would actually, it would have to make accountable decisions suddenly for the modules that we kind of like adopt as. And we're recommending a tiered system where there's core modules that kind of are like platforms. So things like Wetocopy or Eureka would be, or Stripes. And then community modules, which are ones that get the support, points. And then participating modules, which is just kind of everything else that we say it works with it, but it doesn't receive the attention of community development. And the reason why this seems like an important idea, it's a little more like kind of rigid than we have been in the past. But I really think it's probably important for us to acknowledge the fact that we just can't support everything. Like, we can't support every single thing that comes our way. It doesn't mean that we have to exclude it, but it seems like we need to define what modules we are willing to kind of spend resources on. Anyway,
It might help,
first level hot takes.
yeah, it might help with the app proliferation issue. Like even if Like it maybe would at least make folks think twice about just like, oh, let's add another thing here. Let's add another thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, so that's interesting.
Do I build a new module, or do I try to figure out how this feature might fit into a module that's already being supported? You
Right.
know?
That's interesting.
And I feel like I make some of the decisions that we, the PC, have been called to make over the last, many years of Folio, a little more weighty. And that, when we make a decision to allocate these points to a module, there's some significance to it. Like we only have so many, so suddenly we are having to prioritize. It makes things like the community prioritization dashboard, an important guide, for us as we look at our module offerings. And I don't know, it's fleshed out in much more detail on what we're typing up, but that's kind of the general innovation of this next iteration.
I guess my question with that is, though, is what does it mean by the community supports it?
Sure. Yeah, so we've borrowed a lot of the funding from both Tom and basically all three proposals. We kind of tried to maximize the potential, funding sources. So the end result ideally would be that there would be a pool of funds available for support. And the when points, we kind of have two concepts that we're introducing: support score and support points. Support score is what the TC attaches to a module, saying this is the support cost, basically, is the price. And the points are kind of an abstraction that allows you to say, well, we are supporting this, and it would result in either a community-funded dev team attending to that at a certain interval, or the availability of community resources for pursuing contracts with vendors to do work on that module.
Okay. And it would be just the core upkeep of the module or new functionality?
So it would be both, though I do think it, so for the core modules, the idea would be that the community would attempt to pay for all of the upkeep of the core modules. And for community modules, it would be a little bit more flexible, kind of like on a as needed basis. So like kind of on request, if there's a development initiative, or if there's a request, for the maintenance of it, but yeah, I think this is just development writ large, and then we can make some decisions about how we prioritize either feature development or maintenance.
Yeah, because I can say that I know from some of the dev side with it is that pretty much every flower release there is some subcomponents or modules that have to be upgraded in every
Yeah.
single module. So if you're saying that, let's say circulation, inventory, and finance, if users, those four apps are core modules of the community, you probably need a single dev team just to upgrade the core components every single flower cycle. So that's the reason why I was kind of asking, like, what did you mean by like community supported or community?
And I think that another aspect of this is we are looking into the idea of recommending a multi-phase rollout of community development, just kind of acknowledging the fact that it's probably like we could come up with a really great idea that would probably be too much for us just to institute all at once. So we're trying to take that end idea and break it up into like maybe a three-phase rollout. So we could start with something like kind of a pilot, and then maybe institute fully some subset of the components, and then try to come fu you know fully into this community-driven development. But I think that there it would be overly generous to whatever Stephen and I are typing up to say that it's going to have all the answers. I do think it's a good iteration on some of the ideas that have been put out there, but I also think there's a lot of details that need to be probably hashed out at the councils. We do try to enumerate the responsibilities of each of the councils in the idea of community-driven development. So there'll be some wiggle room for how they decide to implement some of these ideas. Charlotte?
Yeah, so one of the things we also have talked about in that group is what is kind of the landscape for this community-driven development. And you know, we know that EBSCO is reducing the development resources they are putting in. They are reducing here this summer, and they will reduce even further at the end of the year. And so, what might also be a good thing to touch on is to kind of present how does, you know, when we are looking a little a couple of years ahead of us, how is the situation then looking? And we right now it will just like the roadmap, it will have the cone of uncertainty. We don't know. We as a community need to talk about
Yeah.
it. I see these ideas with the community-driven development, it is a good thing to get it started
Yep.
and get the know-how within the community as well for development, because
Yeah.
right now it is mostly it's a very few other development team than the current EPSCO EPAM teams right now, which actually are able to do folio code. So we there's and there's a learning curve, and I also say if we discuss what is the community-driven development team going to work on, that can change over the years
Yes.
because to fit in where the need is biggest would be probably the approach.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Charlotte. And I think, Thomas, you're asking the right questions as far as like what are these guys going to be working on? But I think that empowering the community to fund and direct development in general is important. And then once you have done that, then the community can, like kind of almost for the first time, actually have those conversations and answer those questions that you're asking, Thomas, of like, all right, well, now what should they be working on? And it's kind of like you got to get the guys out there and ready to go before you can point them in a particular direction.
I think one of the other things too is that might be crucial to point out is not only right now. I mean, it's kind of obvious that right now the majority of the dev work that's being done in Folio is being done by the EPAM teams, which
Sure.
is funded directly by EBSCO, and the contracts they're getting into. Index Data also does a lot of work in there too, and then the German libraries are doing subcontracting out to other dev teams. But also, if you look at the POs and the system architects and all that, a lot of that is coming from EBSCO. So I think also too is not only does the community have to think about community-driven development, but I think there also has to be a larger push in the community to have people start filling those PO roles again.
Yeah.
And I don't see that those PO roles were taken over by EBSCO as there was a chance, oh, we can grab this and take power here. It was more of a there is a lack
Need,
here and
yeah.
it needs to be filled. And I think the community needs to be aware of that. I think also too is maybe kind of going hand in hand with as you move forward in the support structure is also going back to the idea of the app formalization and a consolidation of apps, because there is so much out there, and going back and possibly even having the community dev team work on re-architecting some of the original apps. For instance, the circulation app, it uses a lot of JSONB because it was migrated from MongoDB. Moving that to a rational database, combining modules together. I've been saying for a while is even looking at Stripes and replacing Stripes with a open source front end framework, which would free up dev time that you don't need people constantly upgrading that. Kind of like I mean, you weren't in the same situation with Kong, but kind of like with Kong and KeyCloak, you rely on other community driven projects. You have to choose them wisely. But like, it would help free up dev resources to actually do functional coding within Folio. So you're not spending so many dev cycles just constantly upgrading things that could be done by somebody else.
Yeah, the what I like about kind of the ideas that I hear being kicked around with this iteration of community-driven development is that one is it's very community governance centric, so it does empower community governance, I think. Like every council has a role, as in like the TC is basically setting the price, determining, coming up with what it costs to manage these things. And the CC is like trying to get the funds together to create, a pool that could be used. I mean, I think an important conversation in the CC is going to be, how do we reduce AWS costs to free up money to like put towards development? And do we need to look at this pass-through concept, when it comes to hosting providers passing through funds, that could be, channeled towards development? Or there's a lot of different things being talked about, and freeing up some of these funding sources, it's going to be key. And then the PC has the role of then deciding, after the core modules are defined, what of all these other apps and modules are we considering, like community modules, and what can we afford to support? Charlotte.
Maybe if we can get a better identification of what modules are, really hungry on AWS and is very, very costly. And at least from index data, we can see some clear apps where this is those are the very expensive ones. And that you can say if libraries are self-hosting and they have the machines, et cetera, are they then going free? No, they are not, because the bigger machines you need to buy, that's costly as well. So it is it's not just for one group of the Folio libraries. It's actually a common problem all libraries are, and all vendors are really suffering under right now.
Is this meeting scheduled for an hour or 30
No,
minutes?
we are way
30 minutes.
over time,
Oh, I'm
Ali.
so
Yeah.
sorry.
It's fine. It's fine. I was just going to throw out one last thing, and it's because I did see some of the preliminary suggestions, and I think the other thing that should be discussed too is, as we move along, there is going to be closed sourced or possibly paid modules for Folio. And I think, and that's probably going to be more of a CC decision than a PC decision, is how do those fit into the community? If they're not open, if they're a closed source module, are those dev teams allowed to interact with the community the same way that open source module dev teams are?
That's a great question. This actually came up with Stephen and I when we were talking about this, is that the community has expressed certain expectations for module participation. So for instance, like the TC has says, here are some technical requirements. And from a licensing standpoint, we've said, well, here's the licensing structure, And there have been, members of the community that have balked at participating with those technical requirements, or they've explored other licenses and things like that. And I think that if we do have community development funds that are being put towards the development of community modules, that incentivizes participation with our expectations in a way that maybe didn't exist before. So for instance, if we're saying, well, we want community modules to meet these technical expectations, and if you are a community module, when there's development to be done on the module, you might be able to get at some of these community funds to get that de development done. Well, suddenly a module developer might want to look at that and be like, hey, it's in our best interest to play nice with these expectations, because that puts us in this arena where we could benefit from that.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, my girls have decided that they want to come over and say
Yeah,
hi.
they know the meeting's over.
Yeah, when the Great Dane decides to butt in a meeting, like you can't stop her. Her nose is like table height.
Well, folks, I'm sorry for going on and on, but I do appreciate y'all letting me run this by y'all because these ideas are very live right now, but it's good to get some feedback on it.
Yeah. No problem. Thanks.
Thank you.
Take it easy, folks.
See you Thursday. Bye.